Good morning. We are in the book of Jonah today. I know we're going to be taking it slow from the first several weeks, but we're going to catch up and get going later on. I know there's only about four chapters, or there is only four chapters in Jonah. Today we're going to look at the rest of verse 3 and move into verse 4 and look at the fact that there are storms that come up in life, and there are storms that God uses to change us. So far, we've heard that Jonah is a prophet, that God has called him to go to the great city of Nineveh, and that Jonah says, I don't think so. So he is going to run, and he's going to go the opposite direction. Nineveh is to the east, and he's going to go west as far as he knows to go. And so he leaves the presence of God. And that's what we talked about last week. And this week we're going to see he gets a ticket, he gets on a boat, and that God is going to send a great wind. It's interesting the word he uses when he talks about this great wind. He says he hurls it on the sea. In that word for hurl is the idea of hurling a weapon, of like throwing a sword or throwing a javelin, the idea of hurling it. And our text says that there was a violent storm that arose on the sea. The word violent there in Hebrew can also be translated as great. And it's interesting that the word great here is used is the same Hebrew word that is used to describe the city of Nineveh. God says that I want you to go to the great city of Nineveh, and he says no, and he gets a great storm. And so the idea is that this Jonah's going to flee a great city and he ends up in a great storm. And so today we're going to look at how storms sometimes come in our lives. We're going to look at how they are to be used. And we're going to look at how God uses them. So some storms, we're going to see, are self-inflicted, while others are not. But all are used by God for our good. And I know that may be a difficult concept, a difficult idea for you to grasp and to understand and to even want to believe. But God will use the difficult things in our lives for his glory. So today I want to start out. We're going to read again because it's not a whole lot. I'll start back in verse 1 just to kind of give us the background, and I'll read through verse 4. And so this is what God's word says. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because their wickedness has confronted me. However, Jonah got up to flee to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. Then the Lord hurled a violent wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose on the sea that the ship threatened to break apart. I think it's interesting there, and within four verses, really within three verses, it talks about Jonah getting up and leaving the Lord's presence. That is not accidental. We need to understand that what Jonah is doing is Jonah is rebelling from God. God says, do something. God has a very specific job for him to do, and Jonah does not want to do it. And so God is going to use this storm. And so what we see is that we're gonna find that storms will come up in our lives. And that here's the deal: storms are going to attach themselves to sin. Storms come when we are in sin. Now, not every storm is going to be because we sin, but realize that when we sin and we run from the presence of God, just like Jonah does, God may not tell you to go to the great city of Nineveh or the great city of whatever and speak to them, but God will command you to do things, and you're like, uh-uh, not doing that, God. You got the wrong guy. And so the bad news is that when we run from God's presence, not only do we not have God, not only do we not have that fellowship and that relationship with God, but we are running into a storm. And some storms are bigger than others. But you need to understand that every act of disobedience to God has a storm attached to it. And you can think about the times when you rebelled against God. And where you ended up is not where you thought you would be. Jonah says, I'm going to Tarshish. And Tarshish is the westmost city of the known world at that time. He says, I'm going as far away from Nineveh as I can possibly be. And I'm leaving God's presence. And he gets down in the boat and he wants to hide and get away from God's presence. And so what he does is he runs from God and he's going to run to a storm. Again, be sure, know that not every difficulty that comes in our life, not every hardship, not every problem we have is because of sin. The book of Job tells us that not everything that goes bad in our lives is because we have sinned. However, oftentimes the things that we encounter are because of our sin. The Bible doesn't say every difficulty is the result of sin, but it does teach that every sin will bring you difficulty. So not everything you go through is because of sin, but I promise you, when you do go and rebel against God, and when you do sin, you will have some form, some fashion, some level of difficulty. Let me give you some examples. If you treat your body indifferently, you say, I'm going to eat what I want to eat. I'm going to drink what I want to drink. I'm not going to do any kind of exercise. I don't care what happens. And you go to the doctor and he tells you you're overweight, your blood pressure is high, your cholesterol is not good, and you have diabetes. You really shouldn't be surprised. Right? You say, I'm going to treat my body indifferently. Therefore, don't expect good health. That's ironic coming from a guy who's chubby and has diabetes, right? I know you were all thinking it, so I just went ahead and verbalized it for you. But also, what if you treat people indifferently? You treat them and you're your friends when you need them, or when you want something from them. And when they come to you and they need something from you, you just cast them aside. You talk about them behind their back and you treat them harshly. You really shouldn't be surprised that they are not friends with you. You don't get to treat people indifferently and expect friendship. We know that. When people treat you indifferently, you don't want to be friends with them. Same concept here. In short, there are consequences for sin. In short, there are consequences for life. When we do one thing, we should expect there to be some form of consequences. We don't always like the consequences. Hey, we want to eat Buddha and cracklings, but we don't want the cholesterol with it, right? We want to eat donuts and all the good breads. And we say, but I don't want diabetes. There's consequences sometimes to what we do. There are consequences sometimes when we talk about people and expect them not to be okay with it. There's consequences. There's consequences when you sin. You're going to end up somewhere in a storm. The thing is this, if you violate the law of God, there's always consequences. You may not recognize the consequences at the time. You may not understand how these are consequences for whatever sin you're in, but there are consequences. Sometimes the Bible speaks that these consequences are a way in which God punishes sin. Check out Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5. It says, "Everyone with a proud heart is detestable to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished." Everyone with a proud heart is detestable to the Lord. Be sure he will not go unpunished. The idea is this: if you are sinful, there are times when you will end up in punishment. That God will punish you for your sins. However, there are also times in our lives when the sin that we do also comes with the consequence. Proverbs 21 also tells us this: "The violence of the wicked sweeps them away." In other words, when you are involved in wickedness, oftentimes the consequences of that wickedness destroys you as well. So there's consequences to life. There's consequences to sin. There's consequences to running from God. Both of these things are true. Sometimes God punishes us, and sometimes our punishment is because of something foolish we've gotten involved in. And you can probably think of times in your life where you're like, yep, I see those two categories. And yep, they're working at the same time. And Jonah experiences this in his life. He's going to experience that when he runs from God, that God is going to go after him. Let me stop here, and we'll talk about this more later. But notice God going after him, or take note, and we'll come back to it later. When God goes after him, it's out of love and out of mercy and out of grace. It's not because he wants to whip Jonah. And when God pursues us and when God goes after us, it's not because he just wants to whip you and discipline you. Even though Scripture says those he loves, he disciplines. Though he loves you and he disciplines you so that you come back into his plan. And you end up back into his will for your life. And he does that out of grace and out of mercy and out of love, not out of vengeance. So Jonah experiences this, but even the sailors are going to recognize that the storm that's coming, or we're going to see this when it comes up in Scripture, the sailors are going to say, hold up, this is something from a God. They may not recognize what God, they don't understand whose God, but they recognize that the storm is from a divine being. And they're going to come to realize that it's from the one true God. Jonah's going to tell them that. And so we see, kind of to sum up this idea, in Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, there's this little phrase that says this: be sure your sin will catch up with you. Other versions say, be sure your sins will find you out. In other words, you cannot sin and have no consequences. So many of us just want to say, but God, you know, I'm sorry. And God will forgive you. But God does not always take the consequences away. So Jonah here finds that sin is going to find itself attached to a storm. But we're also going to see that storms are often attached to sinners. Sin always has a storm attached to it. But if there's good news in this situation, you don't have to be the one whose sin the storm is attached to. Sometimes life comes up and things happen and storms enter our life because someone else has sin and its consequences for their sin. But because we live in a fallen, broken world, we oftentimes go through storms that are not necessarily connected to our own sin. You say, where do you get that from? The other guys on the boat are going to be in a very rough storm. They're in a very rough and hard time in their lives, physically, not metaphorically. And it's because the sin, the storm has been attached to Jonah, and Jonah comes into their life. Sometimes the people we hang out with, sometimes the people we decide to invest our time in, sometimes the people who we decide or the people that we are going to give who we are to bring storms with them. And you get caught up in the storm. You get caught up in the hardship. And it's not a storm of your own making, but it is nevertheless a storm. The men in the boat get caught up in Jonah's storm. Not because of their sin, but because of Jonah's. But here's a good point in this. That sometimes, oftentimes, storms can lead to genuine faith. Storms can lead to genuine faith. Storms can lead to you seeking out, searching out, running to God. These men on the boat, when we get to that part of the story, are going to cry out to Jonah's God. They're going to find out Jonah's God is the one true God. And I think that when Jonah gets thrown off the boat, those men's lives are forever changed. And I think that they have genuine faith in the God of Jonah. God promises believers that everything we go through, that He will use it for our own good. Book of Romans chapter 8 verse 28 says that. He says something like this: all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and who are called according to His purpose. So all things work together for good. Your storms, their storms, tough storms in life. Let me give you some biblical examples of this. Think about the life of Abraham. Abraham gets called from his family, to leave his family and go. And he wanders through a land for many years. He ends up in foreign lands because of his own making. Storms come in and out of his life. He has to go and he fights wars because of different people and different things going on. And all the while, God is teaching him and strengthening him in his faith. And Abraham finally gets the promised son. After 25 years of waiting for God to promise, to fulfill the promise of a son, his wife finally has Isaac. We were talking about that today in Sunday school, that how quickly we give up on God, how quickly we give up on prayer, how quickly we give up and say, I'm just going to do it my way. You think about the life of Joseph. Joseph is a teenage brat. And God uses an Egyptian prison to mold him and to mature him into a godly leader for his own good and for the good of two nations. Think about Moses. Moses is a fugitive on the backside of a desert for 40 years, herding sheep. Not exactly the job he looked forward to as a child. Yet God uses that and teaches him and helps him and molds him into the man that will lead a nation. God uses storms in our lives to change us, to mold us for our own good and for His glory. The Bible doesn't teach us that all difficulty is the result of sin. I said that a while ago. But as believers, we can learn in every difficulty. We can learn to overcome sin. We can learn to be faithful to God. We can learn to trust Him and to walk closely with Him regardless of the hardship. Storms will develop our faith. Storms will develop our hope. Storms help to develop our love and our patience, our humility, and our self-control. Thank God I'm not the 20-year-old who thought he knew it all. That storms have come through life and have developed me and changed me and worked on me. And thank God that the storms that are coming in my life, he's going to use to mature me and mold me and strengthen my faith and strengthen my love and strengthen my patience and my humility and my self-control, that in years to come, he can use me in a whole different way. And the same is true for you. God uses difficulties. God uses storms, whether they're of our own making or if they're of someone else's, for his glory and for our good. So you ask the question, how does God do this? The fact is that God works through our storms. It's one thing to try to understand how God loves and how his wisdom works in storms. You say, God, it makes no sense. How is everything working for good? How is your wisdom working this out? How is your love going in this? How am I being strengthened and matured and all these things? But understand this. It is a totally hopeless situation to think that storms have absolutely no purpose in your life. Imagine that. What you're going through will not build any strength, will not build any maturity, that will not build any love, will not build any humility, will not build any self-control, that you're just going through hardship just to go through hardship. That's a rather hopeless situation. And I don't know where you are in your life right now, but know that God uses storms, uses hardships to call his children back, to strengthen his children, to teach his children, to show his love and his mercy to children. You never go through a storm for absolutely no reason. You may not be able to understand or articulate the reason. But there is not a storm you go through that's useless, that's totally random, that is meaningless. Jonah couldn't see the storm as a work of God's mercy. And you probably have a difficult time even articulating that the hardship you're going through is God's mercy. But it is. Jonah misses it. Jonah's going to miss it. And those who were at the cross, when Jesus is on the cross dying, it tells us that there were a certain group of people there. There were a lot of the ladies who followed him. There was John was there, and Peter's like way in the distance looking on. And there is no reason that they would have said, this is the mercy and gracious love of God. There's no reason a man dying on a cross for no reason would be considered mercy. Yet he's buried. 3 days later, he raises again. And we have the greatest benefit of what seems like a totally useless situation. We get to experience the mercy of God because of a storm that went on for someone else. A storm where we couldn't see, or we wouldn't be able to see in the time, that makes no sense why this is happening. And you may be in that situation now where you're like, this storm is crazy. Makes no sense. Why am I going through this? Why is my marriage in shambles. Why is this going on in the lives of my children? Why is work the way it is? Why can't I afford to do this, that, or something else? Why am I going through this storm? Why am I physically sick? Why am I emotionally broken? Why am I depressed all the time? Why am I suicidal? Why am I going through all this? And you think there's no hope, there's no goodness, and God can use it in His mercy to transform you into the person He is calling and making you to be, so that He can use you for His good and His glory in times to come. You say, God, where's the mercy? Where's your love in this? Where's your goodness in this? And in the heart of that darkness, mercy abounds. Do you feel like you're in a storm right now? Is it a storm of your own making? Because you've run from the presence of God? If it is, I encourage you, run back. Run to a Father whose arms are open wide. Run back to a God who loves you and cares about you and has mercy for you. Run to Him. Maybe you're caught up in someone else's storm. It's not a storm of your own, but it is a storm that greatly affects you. And God is using it for your good, for His glory. Remember, all things work together for good to those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. Will you trust that in the midst of your storm, God has mercy for you, and that mercy will help to transform you into someone who can do greater things? But I do not want to diminish the storm. Later on in the story, you're going to see that the men cry out for help. They cry out to their gods, and they get no answer. It's not until they do what Jonah tells them to do and end up obedient to the one true God, that the storm goes away. Is it time for you to run back to God? Is it time for you to be obedient to God? Is it time for you to say, I'm sorry, I'm not doing this anymore, I need You and Your presence alone? It's no mistake. In three verses, it says that he left the Lord's presence. Too often we leave the Lord's presence and we think that there are no consequences. But there is. Will you come back to His presence? So guys, play. Will you stand and respond to God? If you want me to pray with you, I'd love to. If you want to pray with someone else, if you want to pray by yourself at the altar, we invite you. Spend time responding to God because of what you've just heard.